This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So a couple of years ago, I was at a conference, a training conference, and Michael was one of the guest speakers, and I was really struck by what he said. And then I heard him a little while later, and I read his book, and I sensed that The sort of technical phrase we would use is that there's anointing on him for what his message. What I mean by that is that when he speaks about this theme of invitation, which is our theme for the year, God does something to the listeners. So as he speaks and just tells a story and does a thing he does a lot, I know that you will hear something new from God. He'll reveal something to you, a new understanding. Michael is here with his family, and he's sort of originally known for starting the Back to Church Sunday campaign, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. But has now become an author and a teacher about the whole issue of invitation. I think so. I'd like you to give him a very warm welcome. I think you'll enjoy what he's going to say, Michael.
Thank you. Okay, so you can lower your expectations after that introduction. And of course, you know, I clearly come from Manchester. So, do we need any dual translation this morning, or will we just about get away with it? Yeah, fantastic, excellent. It is such a kind of a privilege to be with you this morning, and we're going to turn to John chapter 1. And just read a few verses from John chapter 1, and I'll try and kind of put my remarks based on some scripture. And I'm going to be reading from verse 35, and just before I got up, we're going to read an extra verse from what I originally kind of thought I was speaking about this morning. So John chapter 1, 35 begins in this way. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Father, as we approach this scripture, your word, help us to do so listening very carefully for your still small voice prompting us both individually and corporately as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. It was in 1962, that was the year before 1963, for those of you just wondering. It was a very lovely summer that year. Apparently, they had clearly more than one day, you know, kind of. It was a very lovely summer. But in the spring of that year, two young people got together, Orrick and Jackie. And in those days, if you were a Mancunian, you went to a place, and you were young, you went to a place called Bellevue. And at Bellevue, there used to be a fun fair, there used to be dancing, and that's where the young people of that a generation in Manchester used to gather for a night out. And Jackie and Orrick used to go there on a regular basis. And they were very much in love with one another. Then one day, Jackie thought there was something amiss. And she discovered that she was pregnant. And my goodness, this was going to be a real problem, because her mother would not be happy with this news at all. And so she tried to keep the secret that she was pregnant to herself. And you know, as the weeks went by and as her body shape changed, it became to a point where she just had to tell her mother. She just had to tell her mother. And sure enough, her mother went absolutely spare. There were just massive arguments, massive rows over it. But eventually, a boy is born, and Jackie's mother says, "He's mine. He's mine." Well, some 12 months later, Jackie once again discovers she's pregnant for a second time. And this time, her mother said, "I'm not having another one. I'm not having another one in the house. So either you've got to get rid of the second child and certainly get rid of that boyfriend of yours, or leave. Your choice. Your choice." So one day, Dr. Bernardo's came and took away the second child. And short time after, Jackie's boyfriend came to call, and Jackie and her mother never opened the door, and her boyfriend walked away, never to be seen again. I'm the first child in that story. I was the first child of Jackie. And all the way through my little childhood and into my teenage years, I struggled with the idea of rejection and abandonment. I never knew I had a brother. I never knew my father. I never lived with my mother. Never lived with my mother. And so all of the years, there was just this identity issue. Who on earth was I? But then one day when I was around about 7 years of age, I was with my grandma, who brought me up, basically. My mum called, and she just lived around the corner, and she would call, you know, kind of virtually every day. But my mum called, and she said, she invited me to church. Can I just say, she invited me like this: "You're coming to church." You know what it was like, don't you? And so basically, I went to a church called Lightbound Evangelical Church. I was about 7 years of age, something like that. And at the age of 11, I actually kind of met for the first time properly what was going to be my spiritual father. Knowing my background, having a spiritual father was going to be very, very important for me. He's called Frank. He was the youth leader of the church to which I'd been invited by my mum. And I remember the very first thing that Frank said to me. He said, Michael, if you start coming on a Sunday evening, you qualify for the church football team. Really? Started coming on a Sunday evening. He then said, after a few weeks of this, he said, on a Friday evening, we've got this thing called Bible Club. But after Bible Club, we play table tennis. Table tennis. Started going on a Friday. A few years later, he said, do you know that kind of passage that we were studying tonight? Next week, could you say something about that passage? I said, what, me? He said, yeah, you. And then he used to kind of take me to different churches. He would preach, and I would probably read the Bible reading. And this went on for, you know, kind of a while. But then one day he said to me, oh, Michael, I've double booked myself. Can you go to that church? I said, what me? What would I say? He said, well, you know, that which we've been preparing for the past 6 months, Michael. So, of course, he hadn't double booked himself at all. He actually kind of turned up. Where would I be without those series of invitations? Where on earth would I be? I certainly wouldn't be here today. Do you know, I want to fast forward some 40 years later. 40 years later, in fact, you know, in this year, I was in Edmonton in Canada. And it was a Sunday morning, and it was my last Sunday of a tour of churches across Canada and North America. And it was a culmination, really, of 2.5 weeks of trying to explain why invitation is so important. You know, and one of my messages around the world is that, you know, very often as churches, we call ourselves welcoming, but we don't call ourselves inviting, or we're a welcoming church. And all I'm trying to do around the world as I go from church to church is to try and suggest, could we just insert the word invite, you know, into whatever we do, so that we're a welcoming and inviting church? Because I know what a single invitation can do. So, you know, some 40 years later, I'm in this church in Edmonton in Canada. And generally speaking, I always like to preach from this passage. I love this passage. You know, John 1, you know, the first thing that Andrew did was he went to invite his brother. You know, of all the things he could have done, the first thing, you know, of all the fantastic things we do as church globally, but the first thing was he went to invite his brother. And I just wonder at times whether we've forgotten that. So that's what I wanted to preach on. And I was on the front row of this church, and it was the largest Anglican church in Canada, west of Toronto, and it was a large church. And I'm sat on the front row, and it's 10 minutes before I'm due to preach. And I casually look at what the other readings are that day. In an Anglican church, you probably get about 3 different readings: Old Testament, a letter, and a gospel, etc. I looked at the passages, and to my horror, the one that I'd said put in was not in. And I looked, and I panicked. 10 minutes to go before I'm about to speak, I panicked big time. Now, I could have continued, but the sermon comes straight after the readings. You know, so I could have continued and read again a different passage. Of course I could. But I was panicking, and I looked at all of the readings. There was nothing, absolutely nothing in the readings whatsoever. Read them again. John 14 was the gospel reading. Read it, couldn't see anything that I could link up with this at all, until my eyes got onto verse 18. And as soon as I saw John chapter 14, verse 18, I couldn't preach anymore. Without anybody could seeing, I was hyperventilating, you know, the tears were kind of coming. You know, now I'm 5 minutes away from preaching, and I'm a wreck, complete and utter wreck. Because what I read there was, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. Followed by these words, I am coming for you. Wow. You know, after 2.5 weeks of ministering this message of invitation across Canada, how important it was, I was to be ministered to before I actually get up to once again beg and plead for invitation to be in the life of the church, because it totally changes people's lives. And the extra verse that, you know, as I'm just getting up here, that I was to read to you this morning was, Andrew went to invite. Simon accepts the invitation, and then the next verse says, you are Simon, but you will become Cephas. And I think, really, at the heart of the Christian message is that it's not just an invitation to church. You know, it's not just an invitation to worship the Lord our God. It's not just an invitation to play a part in really impacting the communities of which we are living. It is an invitation to become who we are meant to be in Christ. To be transformed from Simon to Cephas. And that is why invitation is so completely vital. Andrew just spent a few moments with Jesus. And his first thing was to invite. You know, can Leeds Vineyard add this thinking of invitation into everything we do? Because, you know, there is another Michael out there. There is another child out there waiting to be invited. You know, that might be a 7-year-old boy, a 15-year-old girl, an adult son of somebody, an adult daughter, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, just waiting to be invited. You might just get a no on the invitation that you offer, but we have to leave the results to God. I'd like everybody just to bow our heads just for a moment. And I just want to take a moment with God. And I want you to, in the silence, I want you to ask God, Is there somebody that God is calling you to invite? Just like Andrew, who comes into your mind? Who's in your orbit? Who's in your network that comes to mind as we just hold a silence for a few moments? Now, if God has nudged you to invite somebody, that's wonderful. If God hasn't nudged you to invite somebody, that's also wonderful. We only want to do that which our Father asks us to do. But what I'd like you to do is, if you just turn to the person next to you, or behind you or in front of you, and just share with them, if anything happened there, in the silence, did God nudge you in any particular area? If you just do that, that would be great. If you haven't already been given a sheet, a little kind of note with a pencil, it will be coming to you just shortly. But what I'd like you to do is, if God has nudged you, prompted you, somebody's come to mind, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to put the initials of the person on the notes that you're being given right now. If not, and which is absolutely 100% fine as well, I want you to put a question mark on the actual kind of note as well. It might be when you're shopping on Tuesday, or at the school gate on Thursday, when all of a sudden that question mark turns into, oh no, not that person, give me another. So just to relax you, it's fine. But again, right now, if you've got a piece of paper with a pencil, if you just put the initials of the person God has nudged you by, or a question mark, if that hasn't kind of come through this morning. If you could do that now, that'd be great.
Thank you for doing that. Whilst the people are just finishing off. So you just shared that some of you have just told the person next to you or the person behind you what you felt God say. Can I encourage you to follow up on that? So many of you, as part of our prayer and fasting month, are in what we call a very small group. You're in a very small group. If you're in a very small group, share with your very small group about what you feel God said to you there, about the question mark or about the name of the person, and pray for each other during this week. And in a week's time or so, check in with each other. How did you do? It doesn't matter whether the person said yes or no, but have you been able to make an invitation? Okay. And if you're not in a very small group, maybe track down the person you spoke to this morning and talk to them next week. Yeah? On the 16th of October, I think that's a Sunday, I'm hoping that's a Sunday, 16th of October, we're going to just sort of designate that. It's a random Sunday, there's nothing specific happening that day. We're going to designate that our invitation Sunday. So if you want a sentence to say to somebody, say, would you like to come to church with me on the 16th of October? Okay, simple as that. It's not going to be anything particularly out of the ordinary, it's just a day to invite people. And we'll make that today. And if they say no, that's fine. We leave that with God. We've just made the invitation, yeah? Like Michael has been saying. Does that make sense? Would you like to stand? So we've been thinking about invitation. I'm going to ask Michael to pray for us to become... to insert invitation into the life and the whoop and wharf of Leeds Vineyard and in our individual lives. And then we're going to pray for some other things. But Michael, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this visual picture of what you were doing in the mind of your people this morning. Father, I wondered whether there was going to be room on the cross, but there's always room on the cross. Father, we just pray for each one of us here this morning that you will give us the courage to follow through with the call of, with your call to invite whoever it is that you've called us to invite. Give us courage. Help us to use faith where we are afraid. And corporately, as one big church, help us in everything that we do to be listening to the call, your call in our lives, and to be thinking about invitation in all of the strategy, all of the planning, in every aspect of the work here at Leeds Vineyard. And may you be blessed as an inviter for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.